following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Brian Fancher of KLMJ KQRC Radio in Hampton and Paige Godden of the Indianola Record-Herald. The first question will come from KLMJ's Brian.
Senator, thanks for being on with us today. I just wanted to get your take on the latest with the crisis in Ukraine and what concerns you about what's going on right now.
Well, let me tell you, I'll be glad to talk to you about that. Probably the last word I had on it was about 6 hours ago, and that was in regard to Kerry and Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia, talking, and Kerry saying he thought he was making some progress. Now, I'm not sure how I can measure that progress or I know exactly what he's talking about, but I think that diplomacy is the best thing to do. Of course, military action is out at this point. We have to worry about economic sanctions. If we go that route, Europe may not. They may not be effective as if we had a global opposition to what Russia's doing. They're violating the Budapest Agreement in 1994. I haven't heard much talk about that. There ought to be some pursuit of that because the rule of law in international affairs, and particularly when Russia, along with the United States and Europe, guarantees in that agreement to protect the territorial integrity of Ukraine, and they did that because Ukraine was denuclearizing at that particular time. It seems to me that we ought to push that effort as well. But I don't have any suggestions beyond economic sanctions at the worst and diplomacy, hopefully, to be successful and united action against Russia, either multilaterally or through the UN. And then for the United States to take this as a learning opportunity, because under Clinton, under Bush, and under Obama, we've drawn lines in the sand. People have crossed those lines. There haven't been repercussions to those people that did it. So to some extent, we've lost credibility and lost most of that credibility in the last 4 years under this president because he's the most outstanding example of drawing lines in the sand. But he isn't the only one, because two previous presidents have pushed North Korea and Iran and did what we agreed to do, but the other countries didn't. And when there aren't repercussions, you obviously lose some credibility. And that gives Putin an opportunity to move forward. And I'm sure he's taken every advantage of it he could, because it fits into his pattern of wanting to recreate the Soviet Union. Paige?
Yes, thank you, Senator, again for meeting with us today. My question sort of brings it back to Iowa a little bit. There's been a lot of talk in the Des Moines area this week about synthetic marijuana. Is there anything you can do, and what should the state be doing to crack down on synthetic marijuana sales and use?
Well, you know the Rozga family there. In, if I pronounce that right, in Indianola, lost a boy because of this. At the time of that happening, we passed a law that I sponsored to outlaw that substance. Now, that may sound good. That's going to solve the problem. It didn't solve the problem because and we knew this at the time we passed the law, but tried to do what we can at that particular time. So we find the capability of the chemical community reprocessing or recomposing, however you want to say it, a particular item to make it legal, or at least so it's not illegal. And so we have found soon after we passed that law, such and such has been changed, so it's marketed and just a little bit different, but just as dangerous. So now we have the DEA. That I think is moving a little faster under existing law they had even prior to my Rozga bill being passed to keep on top of the recomposition of these drugs so that maybe by a ruling of the DEA, certain things that are illegal today recompose tomorrow, sold, that they can make them illegal a lot faster than we get a bill through Congress. So with DEA doing that, I hope that we're able to move fast enough so that people reconstituting these drugs can always be caught doing something illegal rather than legal. And these are things that you know, because that's what the case was with Rozga. Nobody thought these were harmful drugs, but they kill. And so we got to keep on top of it. Back to Brian.
Yeah, Senator, getting back a little bit, talking about military, of course, we've all heard here in the last week or so with the Secretary of Defense coming out making recommendations for the future of the military. And what are your concerns about proposals that could cut the National Guard?
Well, that there isn't enough consideration or appreciation that the National Guard is not only a group of men and women that fit into a regular Army unit and fill slots there that are planned ahead of time to make the total Army effective or the total unit effective. They also have responsibilities back home in peacetime, and that deals with natural resources, so law enforcement issues, even getting into some anti-drug in maneuvers, and maybe a lot of other things that I, you know, they ought to be added to that. But they have two components. And we got to keep the National Guard strong to respond to the natural disasters that we have, floods, tornadoes, you know what they are. And we've got to make sure that they're good. So I think that there is, it's a matter of fairness to make sure that the National Guard is treated fairly when cuts come. And I'm not one of these guys who say you can't have any reduction in military spending, but I think that this is unfair to the National Guard, doesn't take into consideration all of the duties that they're equipped to do. And I think maybe in regard to the reduction of the numbers of regular military people that Hagel has suggested is too much too fast. And then you wonder at the time of Ukraine, it seems like the United States is withdrawing in the strength of our military. That gives even more encouragement to people like Putin that the United States aren't trying to be out in front, a leader to stop a World War III like we have been since World War II. Back to Paige.
Okay. Do you know when we'll hear from the EPA on what's happening with the renewable fuel standards, or do you have any updates on that?
No updates, and I don't know when we're going to hear. And I was quoted in the Des Moines Register a little more positively than I know I should have been reported, that I thought that we would win that. I'm not sure of that, but their lateness in moving ahead, because they could have done anything after January 28th, and here we are 5-6 weeks later, and they haven't done anything yet. And then maybe we feel that we've made some progress in meetings we had with the EPA director before Christmas. Then we had 31 senators send a letter to us. We've had an opportunity, Senator Durbin and I, to talk to people at the White House in a bipartisan way about it. We think that John Podesta coming back to work in the White House, being a supporter of biofuels, being one of the top advisors to the president, that he may make an impact on this whole issue. None of this do we know for sure. You know, we 31 senators send a letter. They may put it in the wastebasket right away. We don't know. But all of these efforts are what we're trying to do to preserve it, mostly because if we don't, it's going to ruin the ethanol industry. Maybe not the grain ethanol industry, but moving from grain to cellulosic ethanol. And we have three plants going to be up and running in Kansas, two in Iowa, that's going to move in that direction this year. And that's where we have to go because of the limit that we put on grain-made ethanol at 15 billion gallons. Thank you, Brian and Paige, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.